schools are laying out plans to reopen, but not without difficulties. There's a back and forth right now with CPS and the Chicago Teachers Union. We're going to get to that. There's also this issue here where these surveys went home to CPS parents. And Nader Issa at the Chicago Sun-Times, he does a great job covering education over there. I was a little surprised by how many folks said that they would be sending their kids to school when they reopen. You said, what was it again, 6 and 10, right?
It was 4 and 10. 6 and 10 won't be in school. About 37% of preschool, special education, cluster programs, and elementary students. It adds up to about 77,000 kids.
77,000 kids who would not be in school.
Who would be.
I'm sorry.
I know there's so many numbers and this whole discussion has gotten pretty convoluted with some reopening.
It's
77,000 out of around like 208,000 students who are eligible to come back.
Got it. I think that's is that what you had expected? Is that lower? You covered this very closely. I would just know anecdotally talking to parents. I would think a lot of folks would be ready to have their kids back in school. With the necessary precautions in place, of course. But what are you hearing?
Yeah, I mean, it was tough to know, really. If you look at other districts around the country, especially other major, large urban districts similar to CPS, this sort of lines up with what we've seen. There are parents who are ready, obviously, to get their kids back and sort of return to normalcy a bit. But then we also know that it's not quite normal. We're still in the middle of a pandemic. There are tons of families who are worried about health, safety. They maybe the kids' caretakers or grandparents, and they don't want to risk bringing something home. So it wasn't a huge shock that there were basically two-thirds of eligible families deciding to stay home. And that number also could still, the number of kids returning could still go down because we've heard there are families who for now are deciding to opt in, but the district is still giving them the opportunity to change their minds before they have to go back. And so it figures to think that the number is going to go down by the time January and February roll around.
And Nader, was that the number one reason, is that folks were not sure it'd be safe? Because I wonder how what their experiences are with virtual learning. And you do hear that that's not necessarily going so well for folks either. That played into what I thought would be the reason they'd want to go back if they could feel it was safe enough. Was that number one on the list of why people said, you know what, we're not okay with it?
Yeah, I mean, that's at the end of the day, that's sort of the big reason not to go back right now for a lot of people. You're right. I mean, remote learning, there's just no comparison between being on a computer at home and then being in person with friends and a teacher who cares about you, all that. There's just no comparison between in-person and remote. But at the end of the day, people, I think families have realized this is sort of temporary. They just want to get through the year and make sure that their health and safety is intact. And if that means another few months of remote learning and they go back in April or they go back next fall, then that's sort of a decision a lot of families are willing to take.
CEO of the Chicago Public Schools, Janice Jackson, has said, we don't care if there's one kid in the class. We'd like to reopen them, and we have a plan to do so. Speaking of complicated, there's a court thing today. I'm not sure I entirely understand what happened there, but it made a big difference, and I know you do, so explain it to us.
Yeah, so the CTU tried, and we talked about this last time I was on with you, and we said this was going to be coming, and so the CTU went to court, arguing that CPS isn't bargaining in good faith. The union wants the district to sit down, negotiate over reopening, negotiate health protocols, safety protocols, the threshold for closing and opening schools, all that type of stuff related to COVID and holding school right then. Mm-hmm. CPS thinks that the decision how and when to open is up to them, and so they have sort of said all of that is up to us. We don't, we'll come meet with you. They've met 43 times since June, but they're not necessarily going to negotiate. Rather, they will come in and fill the union in on their plans. And so the CTU went to court, to labor, educational labor court, and they want an injunction, because a trial was set in that case for late January, which is after a lot of thousands of kids and staff would be back. And so they want an injunction to delay that reopening until the trial date, until they get to the trial date. Today, that injunction was denied. And so right now, CPS can go ahead with its reopening. The first staff members are due back January 4th. The first students are due back January 11th. What the CTU is going to try to do next is ask for that trial to be moved up to next week so that the trial can be held and a final ruling can be made before the first teachers and staff go back. But it's the fact that the injunction was denied is a setback for the union because it's no guarantee that the trial can be held in the next week.
Does that mean that the CPS could force the teachers to come back? Is that what I'm understanding?
Yeah, so at this point, if the trial isn't moved up to next week, and the trial would be held to determine did CPS violate labor law by not negotiating, and that was the whole argument. Should CPS be forced to negotiate? Is reopening a mandatory element of bargaining? That right now, this labor board said it's unclear that CPS violated anything, so we're going to have to wait until the trial. So unless the trial is moved up to next week, yeah, CPS at that point, they're the employer. They can tell their employees, you're coming to work. Mm-hmm. The only other option if the trial isn't moved up is for the CTU to start looking at some type of collective labor action, such as a work stoppage, strike, something along those lines.
Would this happen, do you think? Would some type of a strike, you think, be the next step? Is that what you're hearing?
It might have seemed crazy to think that we would have another one just a year after last fall's strike. But, yeah, I think it's definitely on the table. Jesse Sharkey, the CTU president, yesterday at the monthly Board of Education meeting told the school board that, look, if we don't agree that schools are safe, if we don't have some sense of comfort that schools are safe, we're going to be having internal discussions. And he said all options are on the table. And then he said we're going to be forced to take some collective action that's going to have consequences for the city. And so he didn't explicitly say the word strike or work stoppage, but anyone reading between the lines following this sort of knows what that means and where this could be headed. I would imagine in the next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, there's going to be a meeting, and C2 will discuss some type of strike vote if CPS doesn't adhere to what the CTU is demanding.
If you go to CPS's website, I mean, look, I'm an outsider on this. You cover this very intimately. It looks as if, it's not like they're not considering safety protocols. It's not like they're, you know, saying health doesn't matter. It seems like they've laid out a strong program there for health and safety. And I just wonder, what is it they're really sparring over here at the end of the day in terms of opening schools? What do you think is at the heart of this? Just a lack of trust? Is there something else here that we need to know about, Nader?
Yeah, so when the CTU released its demands a couple weeks ago, there were sort of three categories: safety, equity, and trust. Safety is one of them, so making sure there are masks, hand sanitizer, disinfectant wipes, schools are clean, like there are enough janitors to actually clean the schools, that ventilation there's good ventilation in every building. That's one element of it. And you're right. CPS has done a lot of work. They spent millions of dollars to get ready for reopening. Yesterday they said they have 1.2 million masks already distributed to every school in the district, ready to go when teachers and students show up. There's going to be three cloth face masks for every one of them. They've bought disinfectants. They're currently putting portable ventilation systems and trying to get them into every room. That's still a work in progress. So that's one aspect of it. The CTU basically wants to make sure and have enforceable written down protocols and a way to hold CPS responsible if they don't follow through with those things. And so, yeah, trust is a big thing there. And the other thing is metrics. So there's this whole discussion about which metrics should we pay attention to when looking to reopen schools. And CPS and the Chicago Department of Public Health now say that they're looking at this metric called doubling time, which is how many days is it taking for the cases in the city to double. And they say if it's less than, 18 days, then it's probably not safe. If it's 18 days, that means the outbreak is in control and we can reopen. CPS is challenging that, saying it's arbitrary. They are looking at some metrics that CDPH set in July that the city is now saying is outdated because the science has evolved. And the CTU is also looking at other metrics in New York, for example, for New York's public schools. So those are sort of the main issues. A lot of it, to be honest with you, has to do with trust. I don't think either side trusts each other. They still have bruises and scars from a pretty tough contract fight last fall.
Sure.
And yeah, the relationship just isn't there for either side to think that the other one has good intentions.
You know, I hope it gets there and gets there soon, because I do think there needs to be a plan. I mean, you've come on and talked about this before, Nader. The kinds of things that kids are going through, the ones that are not in school. And even if they're not comfortable going to school, then what can you do for them? There's a learning loss situation. There are kids who haven't logged on at all. You've got more failing students. You've got anxiety, depression, lack of socialization. I mean, I could go on and on. It just feels as if there are students who are really suffering in this environment. And this is still failing them. Where we are right now is still failing those kids.
Yeah, I actually this week read a great article in NBC News about all of the different ways that children are suffering right now. Mm-hmm. I'd highly recommend people go take a look at that. There's just so much that to consider here. Obviously, health and safety with the pandemic is the number one thing. Learning loss at the end of the day is not going to matter if someone's life is lost. So that's really important. And so, of course, that's what the CTU is talking about and is caring about. But there are so many other issues, like you're saying, that are also important. I talked to a pediatric infectious disease expert at the University of Chicago a week or two ago, and he sort of laid out this trickle effect of kids having learning loss right now. If a kid isn't at grade level reading by the end of third grade, they're three times more likely not to graduate high school.
Mm-hmm.
And people that don't graduate high school are more likely to have bad access to quality health care. And if you have bad access to quality health care, your life expectancy is lower. And so there are major stakes right now with not reopening schools. And everyone wants to get back to school safely and make sure that it is safe, but everyone does see the need to go back to school because there could be some long-lasting effects if this doesn't happen.
You always do a great job, and I appreciate the time today, Nader. We'll see what happens. Thank you for checking in with us.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Nader Issa there. He's a Sun-Times education reporter. We're going to hear from Stacey Davis-Gates from the Chicago Teachers Union in the wake of that court ruling today, see what she has to say. He just mentioned strike. I'll ask her about that. Is that a possibility? Is that what we'll see next? We'll ask her coming up. Stacey Davis-Gates joins us with the Chicago Teachers Union. Stacey, how are you this afternoon?
Not bad, Anna. How are you today?
Okay. You guys are still engaged in talks, I assume, with CPS. Is this an everyday thing? What's happening there? Just bring us up to speed as we're all trying to make sense of what's going on.
Well, we're trying to make sense of what's going on as well. The overwhelming majority of the families that attend the Chicago public schools have been clear. They're going to keep their children home, and they want better remote learning opportunities for their children. I think we've been very clear from the beginning that you got to make remote learning better. What we've been hearing from CPS and the mayor is that it is imperative for equity's sake to get students back into the buildings. Well, Black and brown families have spoken, and for their sake, they're saying safety first, which to us makes sense based on the disproportionate impact of COVID in their families, their communities, the people that they know. So what we're doing at this point is still trying to get CPS to see the utility of engagement to shape their policies to be safer, to be perfectly honest with you. Today we got word that the modular classrooms on the south side are being closed because the ventilation doesn't work well. Well, that's kind of different from what we've been hearing so far. We've been engaging with members who are being told to go pack up their belongings from one classroom and put them in another classroom because those classrooms won't be used because of ventilation. So there's a lot of double talk, and we know that mitigation factors work together. It's not one out of the five or three out of the five. It's all of them together. And what we feared, what we fear about not being able to do this well is that we'll have 550 different plans that won't keep us safe.
You know, it's interesting because if you talk to CPS, and we do, we interview them too, they'll tell us this, they're not just going at this blindly, and that they're not just sort of being callous about safety and the health of students or teachers, that they've laid out a pretty clear, thorough plan that would, you can't guarantee anything in this environment, but that thinks through as many options as you can to try to assure people that it can be safe to go to school for in-person learning. I just wonder, we were just talking to Nader Issa, who does a great job at the Sun-Times covering education.
For sure.
He does. And I one of the things he pointed out is trust maybe at the center here, and that there's a trust issue between the two sides, and ultimately you should be able to find the middle ground if that weren't present. Would you agree?
Well, I don't think it's just trust with the two parties. I think it's trust with CPS and all of its stakeholders. We are one of many stakeholders in the Chicago Public Schools, ecosystem, if you will. And I think that the results from their own survey is pretty damning in terms of the trust factor that they have yet to build with the stakeholders. Listen, when families tell you, I'll pass on that, that says a lot. And I think that CPS is also being very short-sighted in how it's looking at hybrid learning. We know from all over this country that hybrid learning has been a tremendous challenge as well. Look at New York right now. They have only 13% of their students back in hybrid learning. The vast majority of their students are still in remote learning situations, and there are, a myriad of concerns that the families who elected for remote learning are having. In fact, there are concerns that is widening the very inequities that are already pre-existing. So listen, there's no perfect solution. What we've chosen to do at the Chicago Teachers Union is to prioritize safety. Because if you prioritize safety, we can figure out how to reimagine education. And quite frankly, Anna, we've been needing to reimagine education for some time, as evidenced by last year's strike.
Mm-hmm. The students that are not doing well with this, and you're right, I was a little surprised, taken aback by how many said that they would not be coming back in school. Their parents said that, where they filled out those, what was it, a survey that went home or something like that? Is that?
Yeah, they emailed a survey to families with, I think it was just two questions, if I'm not mistaken. Are you coming back? And why aren't you coming back? Were the two questions that they queried families on.
Okay, and then Nader just told us 6 in 10 said they won't be back in school. 6 in 10 said we're not coming back. He seemed to signal that it was a health issue, that they're concerned about that. Is that what you read on the whole thing?
Well, yeah, they're concerned about that. And look, let's be honest, too. Our district is overwhelmingly students of color. And what we've seen in the workforce is that, we see a lot of people of color, women, heads of their households working right now. You've seen strikes at nursing homes. You've seen the issues in healthcare. Those are like two of the biggest employers, of our parents. And so they're having an experience as workers. They're having an experience as, families of color. And they're just reticent to make the decision to send their students back. But listen, our president-elect said Congress is going to have to fund reopening, because school communities need resources, and that he is working towards making sure that Congress sends resources to school districts so that the majority of the school districts can open by the end of April. I know that folks think that that's a long time from now, and it's not wrong that, one, we're going to need more than what we have now, and two, we're really going to need warmer weather. Many of the ventilation fixes that CPS is presenting will be a window open in January.
You're saying end of April is when you would see the schools reopening?
No, I'm saying that's what our president-elect has said.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying that he's right to say that we need more resources. Our schools are going to have to be retrofitted. A consequence of COVID-19, well, excuse me, I'm saying this wrongly, climate change is driving a lot of what we are experiencing with this virus. And you know, like I know, climate change is a big deal that we've yet to get control of, you know, nationally. That being said, we're going to have to prepare our school communities, our workspaces, and even our homes to deal with those realities. That will cost money. Those are infrastructural costs that we're going to have to address. At the same time, we're going to need more money. Look, I can say this. Our members are prepared to figure out learning. They did it last March. They're doing it right now. What they're not prepared to do is to be threatened to go back into buildings that they were waiting for soap and sanitizer when our governor closed schools last spring. They are employees of the Chicago Public Schools. They have real experiences with promises not being kept, headlines out there, but the meat of the story is scant and thin. And so they have very reasonable concerns with how this implementation will happen, which is why we are demanding safety. Look, I have three kids upstairs who are itching for this to end. They want to get back to dance and soccer and all of the things that we get to do as a family that doesn't entail us being at home. And when it's safe, and when we have reasonable safety precautions in place.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much there, Stacey, and I just I hope that we land on solutions, and I hope that, you know, that this comes soon, because I think that the kids that do want to be in school and can find there's a path to that at some point. I know that CPS wants that for preschool, what is it, kindergarten and special education first. That's what they're proposing. Is that okay by you? Do you think that their plans for that is okay, or are there problems with that too?
Look, we have very real questions about ventilation. We have very real questions about the execution of all of the mitigation factors in place at the same time. I think that yesterday at the board meeting, they capitulated that the first opening of school, based on their own measurements, was going to be complicated and rocky at the same time. And Anna, we also know this. 600 cases of COVID have happened in the Chicago Public Schools with just a skeleton staff of adults. That's not including any of our students, and that's not including our educators back in the classroom.
Yeah.
We have had 600 individual cases of COVID that we know about. We are concerned, and I think we have good reason to be concerned.
Hey, Stacey, we got to leave it there, but I hope you'll come back and keep us posted. I appreciate your time, okay?
Always. We appreciate you, and please continue to be safe. Thank you.